Well, welcome to worship, everyone. Here this morning to be with us to praise our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are talking about the Psalms this morning. This is our last sermon on the Psalms that you'll hear. It's Psalm 1, and we're going to be talking about how important it is to spend time in God's Word.
Let's pray. Oh, great and almighty God, who at the beginning of time formed our world and who breathed life into the waters of creation by the breath of your Holy Spirit. We thank you once again today for the world you have given us as a home and for the revelation of your loving presence in this world through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That you, who are the master crafter of the universe, should care about us frail and fallible mortals never ceases to astound us. And for your gracious love and patient dealing with us, we give you our humble and heartfelt praise. As you have revealed yourself and your will for us in Christ Jesus, so may we follow faithfully in his way as his disciples, helping to carry out his work of healing and redemption. May we not give up on situations in our world that seem impossible to change. May we always remember that Christ came into the midst of a broken and hurting world in order to make your divine love manifest, even in the most oppressive and discouraging of situations. May we stay hopeful, even when others have given up hope. May we show your love and care for our world through both our words and actions. May our church continue to truly be a house of hope in this community and this world for ages yet to come. Father, we thank you for houseboats. We thank you for the lives transformed there. And Father, we pray expectantly for the work of Vacation Bible School and Junior High Extreme this week, and even our summer singing camp. Father, will you minister to those children and their families? We pray especially today for those people who have lost loved ones this week, and for those who are struggling with life-threatening illness. Watch over them and surround them with the wings of your loving, healing spirit, who descended on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who dwelt among us, even in the most adverse of times and circumstances, revealing the depth of your love for us, and who taught us to pray his prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Psalms. We are ending at the beginning of the Psalter this morning, our series on the Psalms. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so reading of God's word. May he bless it to our hearts and minds this morning. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, you may know that there are some things you just can't do in a hurry, right? You can't really raise a child in a hurry, although maybe some days you wish you could. But it takes years to raise a child. And you can't plant a garden in a hurry. How many of you are gardeners? I know there's some of you teaching me all kinds of things, but yeah, you can't plant a garden in just a little while. It takes months.
And you can't do a jigsaw puzzle in a hurry. Some of you at family camp were trying to do this jigsaw puzzle. It was out there all weekend. You know, you got to match and fit, and it takes time to put together a jigsaw puzzle. And you can't eat a piece of hard candy in a hurry either, right? You're going to be getting some hard candy this morning. It's coming around right now. If you are on a diet, take one anyway and just look at it. Imagine what it would be like to put that hard candy in your mouth, because this is a little bit of a illustration here. So just take a hard candy. And if you get it, just open it up and put it in your mouth if you can, all right? So everybody gets a hard candy this morning. We gave out Tootsie Pops for Father's Day last weekend. We're just getting to be a sugar high church. You know, takes a while to eat a piece of hard candy, right? There's a melting process that goes on in your mouth once you put it in there to let the flavor out. You might turn the candy over in your mouth a little bit, let it dissolve somewhere in the dark recesses of your mouth there. Maybe you play with it on your tongue a bit, okay? Now, you could pop the hard candy like an aspirin, you know, just put it in your mouth and swallow it, but what would be the point of that? You'd lose the flavor, the texture, right? You need to take time to eat a hard candy. All right, I hear the paper crinkling. That's good. That means some of you are opening it up. Wonderful. So that's what the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 1 when he talks about meditation. You can't absorb God's word fully unless you take time with it. Rest in it. Allow the flavor and the impact of the words to grab hold of you, sink down deep into your soul. Allow God's word to become a part of who you are. Allowing that to happen takes time. Anyone here have a slow cooker, one of those crock pot things? Yeah, so I love my slow cooker because I don't cook well, but all I have to do is dump all the ingredients into this pot, right? And sometimes I let it cook for 10 hours. Now, I could take those same ingredients and warm them up in the microwave 2 minutes before I'm going to eat, but there's something about simmering it for a while, right? Let's all those flavors meld together so that when you come back home, let's say 8-10 hours later, it tastes so good. The whole house fills with the fragrance of it. All right. In the same way, meditation on God's word takes time. It is not a quick fix. I've been known to open the Bible quickly, get a thought for the day, bam, slam the Bible, run out the door. Now, that's okay, I guess. I guess that's better than nothing. It gives me something to go on, but that's not meditation. That's not meditation. This isn't the way that God's truth gets embedded in our soul. See, there's so much richness to God's word, the scriptures, so much to learn and to know. You are missing the flavor, the texture, the actual treasure that is in scripture by doing the flyby. It says in Psalm 1, that the righteous take time in God's word. They savor it, mull it over, examine it, and let it sink down into their heart. In fact, the scripture says in Psalm 1 that the righteous meditate on God's law day and night. Day and night. Now imagine that. The word law here might be a bit off-putting, right? Who wants to do that? Who wants to think about a law day and night? But when you think about what Jesus said from a Christian perspective, the whole law is summed up in the Shema, known to us as the part of Scripture that reads this way. This is the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Then we might get a little bit more interested here. Maybe this whole meditation process is about sinking deeper into a love relationship with Jesus Christ. And if meditation can help us with that, then maybe it's worth it, right? The Hebrew word to meditate is the word hagah. Now, there's this really interesting connection here. There's a verse, Isaiah 31:4, and it says this. It says, as a lion growls, a great lion over his prey. And what's interesting in this verse is that the word translated as growl is that same Hebrew word, haggah, which means meditate. This doesn't mean we growl over scripture. I'm going to bite your hand if you touch my Bible. That's not what it means. Think about it this way. Have you ever seen a lion bent over its prey? It's very similar to watching a dog with a nice bone. I have a demon-possessed chihuahua, but not that dog. I have another dog. I have two dogs. And the nice one is a border collie, and often I'll give her a bone. And she treats this bone like it's the greatest treasure she's ever received. Sometimes she doesn't even pick the bone up right away. I'll put it on the ground, and she'll circle around it, you know, and kind of, wow, this is incredible. And then, after she's looked at it with awe and circled around it a bit, she might turn the bone over a couple times on the floor. She's been made known to make grunting noises and lick it tentatively, and then gingerly she carries it to an out-of-the-way place where she can savor every morsel. She chews and gnaws, and she seems to delight in getting every last ounce of flavor out of that bone that she can. Now, of course, I usually step on those bones with bare feet in the middle of the night. The closest thing to childbirth that I remember, that it's a lot of pain. She's stuck those bones clean. They're sharp. But she's gotten everything out of that she can. That's haggah. That's the word for meditation. That's how Psalm 1 tells us we're to meditate. We're to take time with Scripture. Ponder the words. Ingest them slowly. Talk to ourselves and others about their meaning. We muse on them. We mutter, murmur, growl, so to speak, chewing, tasting, marinating in the truth of it, letting it form us, get down inside of us and transform us from the inside out. And believe me, Scripture never loses its flavor, its depth, its texture, if you let yourself go there, if you spend some time in it. Of course, you have to make intentional space and time to do it. That's one of our core values here at West Valley Presbyterian Church, is intentional faith development. You know, we could just say faith development. That would be okay. Except we know that unless we make intentional space to grow in our faith, to spend time in God's Word, we're not going to spend the time. You know that. I know that. We need that intentional space. Now, let me just clarify something. The word meditation sometimes can be troubling for folks, so I just want to put this in here, because when you say meditation, sometimes people think of Eastern meditation, transcendental meditation, but unlike that form of meditation, the person in this psalm isn't just meditating on anything they want. The person is meditating on the law of the Lord, the Word of God, the love of Jesus. This psalm tells us that meditation is prayerful reflection on what God is telling you about himself in Scripture. Meditation is responding thoughtfully to a God who has sent us a love letter of 66 books in the Bible that is all about himself and his desire to be in love relationship with us. Meditation is saying, number one, I am not going to take your love letter to me, Lord, lightly. If you, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, who created me, sought fit to write me a love letter in the pages of this book, I'm going to spend some time with it. I'm going to get to know it. I'm going to mull it over, turn it over in my mind, think about it, wrestle with it, marinate in it, assimilate it, and get the full flavor out of your love for me. When it comes to the love of Jesus, Brennan Manning always says it the best. This is what he says. We should be astonished at the goodness of God, stunned that he should bother to call us by name, our mouths wide open at his love, bewildered that at this very moment we are standing on holy ground. This is what happens when we meditate on God's word. We become aware of God's great love for us. Sort of makes you want to read God's love letter to you, doesn't it? Number two, meditation changes our heart. The psalm says that the blessed person delights in the law of the Lord. And the key word here is delight. This tells us that the person who gets meditation actually loves to read scripture. As a swooning teenager or lover would love to open a letter from his or her lover. They might read it over and over again, savor the words. That's the delight part of this. And they read the letter and they think, this person really loves me. Wow, I'm that special, that important, that valuable. Reading it over and over. So you can see how this does not just involve the head, what we know about God's word, but it involves the heart. The process of meditation, chewing on things, working things through, changes us. Once the word of God gets deep down inside us, we begin to experience God's love in a deeply personal way. We start to fall in love with Jesus Christ. Someone once said this, and I think this is a great definition of meditation. Someone said, meditation is a mind descending into the heart. Finally, number three, meditation involves asking a series of questions as we come to Scripture. And the questions I'm going to share with you come from Martin Luther, who taught his congregation how to meditate. And I think these questions are still relevant for us today. So questions Luther asked that teach us how to meditate on God's word are these. And these are the questions you ask as you come to Scripture. How can I adore God for what Scripture is telling me? How can I worship God for what this means? You can ask yourself that. Another question you can ask is how can I confess a sin to God on the basis of what this is telling me? Sometimes you come to Scripture and you're just convicted that you need to confess something. Number three, how can I thank God for how this Scripture sheds light on the person and work of Jesus? Number four, how can I petition, ask God for something on the basis of what this says? Sometimes you'll be reading Scripture and the Holy Spirit will lead you to pray for someone or something, or a desire in your heart comes forth. Number five, how would my life look different if I really believed this? Or how would my life be different if I really believed this? Ask yourself that. Sometimes you have to wrestle with that one. And finally, why would God be sending this to me now? I believe that God works through Scripture and brings verses to us and passages to us that relate directly to our lives. Even though Scripture is a historical document, God uses it in the here and now to guide us and direct us. Luther would say to think through these questions. Mull them over, mutter to yourself, ponder, chew, marinate, and let the Holy Spirit work in and through Scripture to illuminate the meaning to you. And if you start asking those questions of the Bible as you're reading it, as you're studying it, you're going to start to meditate and you're going to start to delight. Your heart is going to be shaped and you're going to start to change. Now, here I am, a pastor, telling you to spend time in the Word of God, and pastors tend to say those things, and, you know, that's all very nice. But I've asked Kendra Lewis to share with you at this point her story of how spending time in God's Word changed her. So, Kendra, come on up, and we're looking forward to hearing from you today.
Spending time in God's Word has changed me. It has made a difference. During the women's retreat this past March, April, it was on transformation. So it was the whole changing of your life. And I just sat in the back of the group and in the last row and just grinned through the whole thing because I knew exactly what she was talking about that transformation and the difference it makes. And knowing that you're different from before is such a delight. Verse 2 says, but his delight in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Delight is the thing. That's the thing, I think, that I keep it up. It sums it up. I delight when I read God's word. I learn something new when I get it. makes me feel smart. Makes me feel like I've bonded with Christ and God. Kind of like the same high you get from church camp as a teenager, senior high camp, houseboats, kind of the same thing. It's that high, it's that delight. I've been a Christian all my life. I became a Christian in fourth grade. I think I remember when Pete Bozak prayed with me, and that was my official transformation. Being part of this church forever, I think. I've always been a Christian. I've always been involved in the church. So it's always been God with me. I know He's been with me. I've always been a Christian. Then I got married the first time. And we didn't really go to church, and that kind of slipped away. But I still knew I was a Christian, and I still knew it was there. Then I went through this time of complete and utter knowing that God had said, I'm done with you, I'm giving you up, basically. It was the weirdest time in my life because I knew that there was no hope, no God in my life. And the only thing I can acquaint it to was, if you're not a Christian, that's how you live. There's no hope, there's no God, there's no future, there's no nothing. You're living that way. And I'm going, I can't live this way because I know God. And I know, that was the biggest time in my life where I had to find God again and figure out where He was because I needed Him in my life. So this thing I'm talking about when you read the Bible and when you meditate, I discovered it, I think, by accident. So I went to BSF just because I needed something to do with my life. So I went, and I did the homework every day because I didn't want to look like an idiot in front of everybody else. So I did the homework every day. Okay, I'll read the scripture. I'll answer the goofy questions. I wanted to look smart because I've been a Christian all my life. I should know these answers, right? So I made some friends. I decided to stay for another year. While I was there, of course, I made the connection with people. And it was then that I started realizing that through this 20 minutes a day, wow, it does really make a difference in my life. Now, I can encourage you to read the Bible every day. I can encourage you to pray every day, meditate every day, spend time alone with God. Make it a habit. I have a list. Are you ready? I can encourage you to join BSF or a small group. West Valley has plenty of them. Go on to an online blog. Encourage you to talk more about Jesus. Commune with nature. Sing, dance, play music. Raise your hands. Fall on your knees. Lay prostrate. Sing a new song. Stop and smell the roses. Spend time you need with God in the way that you do it. It will change your life. Find that thing that connects you. Now, after saying all of this, you need to know that I am an instant gratification person. I do not like to meditate. I do not like to mull things over for months. I do not like to think about them. I want the quick answer. I want to move on. It's fixed. It's done. Hence my job. I fix things. So I don't spend a ton of time dealing with the huge picture. I do not have a long-term goal. My goal is to go to heaven. That's it. Instant gratification. So to meditate and to marinate and to mull things over goes completely against my personality. So here's my trick. My trick is I call up a friend and I say, hey, meet me in the morning, meet me at 7 o'clock, let's have breakfast, let's talk. So now I have an obligation to show up. I don't want to let this friend down. I know that if I don't show up, they're going to be on the phone going, hey, where are you? Why didn't you show up this morning? So it's an obligation now for me to show up to meet this friend. My friend's always there. He's always on time, even though I'm usually late. My friend always greets me. When I get there, we pray together. He teaches me. I read his word. Just like meeting a walking buddy, just like meeting somebody to go jogging with. Hey, let's go to a movie. Hey, let's go out to dinner. I go, let's get together. Every morning, 7 o'clock, we're going to get together because that's the time I have. If I'm downstairs at 7 o'clock in front of my Bible, I have till 7:23 when my alarm goes off. That's my time with God. It's only 23 minutes, but let me tell you, over the course of almost 50 years, it makes a difference. And it makes a huge difference. Am I blessed? Am I delighted in the Lord? Absolutely.
Let's pray. Lord God, give us the awareness of your presence as we go to Scripture so that we might truly allow your words, your love letter to us, your longing to be in relationship with us, those words that speak your love to go deep into our souls. May we spend time with you and may we meditate on you and may we get to know you and fall in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So it is, God is our strength, our refuge, our shield. And it is only in spending time, which we've learned from Kendra and Kim this morning, that we can truly have a firm foundation.
I encourage you to spend time meditating on that God who is so great and who loves us so much. Read his love letter. Spend time in it this week and meditate on his word for you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forever. Amen.